Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our good buddy Mike Johnson. What's happening, MJ?
What's going on? You know what? I kind of like that Koepka pops off like this. I mean, like, I get the idea, like, he plays a sport, doesn't want to be teammates, doesn't want to hang out with guys. That's how he lives his life. And
well, why go to the event then, Johnny?
Well, that's, I mean, it's a good point, because you're supposed to, I think. You know, despite his, you know, counter-golf culture attitude at times and willingness to say things at a turn, you know, I think because he's supposed to, and maybe on some level he wants to compete in it, or a lot of great players can be lauded for their success at the Ryder Cup. So maybe he's like, whatever, man, I'll go play my matches, I'll win. I don't care what else happens. I'll just worry about myself because that's all I ever do. Maybe that interests him too, just to have a good singles record or whatever it might be. So it's interesting though, because it's kind of flipped where Bryson was the jerk. And Koepka was kind of the refreshing guy calling him out on being a jerk. Mm-hmm. But as it slides now, maybe some people might start thinking Koepka's a bit of a jerk as well. Right. So they both are in the dislikable territory.
Well, that's probably good for the Europeans, you know, although Ian Poulter will show up and he will be unlikable in the States.
The way he dresses, Tiger Woods.
The way he plays, oh, he's a stud.
He's amazing.
He's a stud at this. Yeah.
Well, the reason why the Europeans get along, hey, you're like, what, even though from different countries, I think it goes back to like the 90s when there weren't that many Europeans on the PGA Tour, and they hung out because they're from Europe together on the PGA Tour. Like they would do dinners, like they would kind of chum around on the PGA Tour, the few that were there, and that kind of chemistry, I guess, or whatever, the relationships they had there kind of carried over to the Ryder Cup. That's what they say anyways, but maybe not so much now where the top PGA or the top European guys fly around and play all over the world,
right,
and are their own little corporations. But I think that's where the foundation was laid, because, you know, whatever, you're from Spain, I'm from Portugal, I'm from England, but we have that in common, so let's go for dinner was where it started.
Yeah, and that makes some sense. And I don't know. Do we have continent pride over here? Do we love being North American? I've never thought of it.
If you're Canadian, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe me, if you're in Magnitogorsk, Russia, and there's somebody from North America, you're seeking them out, because you're, you know, you're going to have them over to your place and help clean the dust off your table and whatever else is going on there. Like, you try. I've been in an isolated situation where you look for anybody that speaks your language, anybody that, you know, you have something in common with. So I can identify with that, being, you know, I was scared to death just looking for people to speak English over there.
Right.
My translator would be buckled by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so he was no use.
So you had your own, like, personal translator over there?
Yes, Igor. He'd drive around in a cab. Like, he picked me up in a cab. At least good for him, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Awesome guy. I love the man. Like, he enjoyed himself, and it was, you know, there was a little bit of a language barrier even between him and I. Like, I think he's a fantastic person. It's just there was some days
Igor,
where it was tough to figure out what he was trying to say.
You know you're in tough when there's a language barrier with your translator. One job, know how to speak my language. That is, in essence, your job.
Yeah. Kind of a requisite that comes with the gig is we need to be able to communicate. Because
awesome.
Who the hell knows what he was saying going the other way in Russian? Like, what if he was throwing you under the bus the whole time?
I
really
got
to trust what he's saying. You have no idea what he's saying. Like, I've never been in that situation before, trusting a translator.
Yeah.
But... and I've never heard of anything going sideways, but, you know.
It could, though.
It
very,
could happen.
Very awry. You'd have no idea. You'd be sitting there smiling while he's just sewering you.
It happened to me. I found out a year later that our goalie coach, I had a nickname for all of the guys, the coaches, because I didn't know their names, right? So the goalie coach was Mustache. He was about 5 feet tall with a giant mustache, and he hated my guts. He had me dragging a tire around the ice. I'm like, what are we, in the 80s? Like, let's do some drills. And I would complain to my goalie partner, like, what are we doing here? He apparently was telling the goalie coach, like, this guy thinks you're an idiot. So, like, I found that out way later. Like, I was being sewered by...
By your tandem.
Technically my partner, yeah.
I would have killed that guy.
I've never seen him since.
And that was, like, our assistant coach was Tomato Head. Like, he had the reddest face you've ever seen in your life. and you know, there was Dr. No Sleeves who handed out vitamins. Like, it was just it was
what a scene over there.
Gong
we
show.
Need a 30 for 30 on that. We need it.
It's awesome.
Noodles time in Magnitogorsk. It sells itself.
The best.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. I read earlier today, Carey Price is still not skating. And have we heard an update on that? Have you heard anything, Johnny, in terms of like a projected start date for him? Not just skating and getting into camp, but actually playing. Do we expect to see him play before the new year or what?
Absolutely. From last I heard, I mean, I haven't exactly checked in as of late, but I thought I heard a few weeks after the surgery that it was going to be around the start of the season. So it's not like whether he missed a week into the year, whether he got into camp with a week to go, it would be around that date, and there didn't seem to be any concern about that. Now, that day is, what, 8 or 9 days away before camp starts, so it looks like he won't be in full shape to go on the ice, but it doesn't seem like they're particularly worried about him going deep into the regular season. And Montreal's in a weird, strange place because, like, they made the final last year. You know, the Canadian team hasn't won in forever, and yet they're with the chance, even though they didn't really have much of a chance against Tampa. And yet, here they are going to the new year, and there's so many changes, and there's been a tough summer, Kotkaniemi and the draft, and Carey's hurt, and Shea Weber's going to retire and everything else. I don't know if the Montreal Canadiens fans or even the organization thinks that they're going to be anywhere near as good as they were last year in the playoffs, or even if they would be likely to make the playoffs. They say they will want to. They'll say they expect to. But I would think most prognosticators would say no, they are fifth or sixth in their division.
Johnny, you played in this market, and I golfed with a guy named Michael today, and he got out of his cart on the third hole, and he goes, Jeff, there's just no positive vibes about the Leafs this year. Like, do you think that's the case? And I understand they had a massive disappointment last year. They got their little... Everybody dragged them through the mud last year, right? But it's just like, is there any way they can get some positive feeling and positive mojo? Do you think that's the case, that there's not a lot of positivity around these guys? For me to be positive, of all people, seems unlikely. But just how do they get rid of that, or can they change that, or is it just pretty simple with good play?
You know what? It's an interesting dilemma that they face, because I think, you know, the positivity that there has been building around the Leafs because they're good, because they have these stars. Like, wasn't Mitch Marner on the first team all league last year? Like, he was the best winger in the league. Like, they're incredibly talented, and yet the disappointment for the organization, for the players, and obviously for the fans this past year was so big that it's going to be hard to get them as excited, as bought in as they were last year until they get to the playoffs. I think you'll see the fans, of course, will get excited, and they'll be happy when Auston Matthews takes a run at 50 and can Mitch Marner get 100 points or whatever might happen this year. But they will always temper that excitement with, well, we've been here before. And I think that's what the consecutive playoff disappointments has done, is it's caused people to be more skeptical and more reticent to want to buy in, as opposed to, you know, in years past. So, you know, they win some games, they have some good moments, people will get excited, but even as carried away as Toronto can get, I think there will always be that, well, none of it really matters, because it doesn't at this point for this group. None of that stuff matters. We know Auston Matthews is the best goal scorer in the league. We know William Nylander is really good. We know Mitch Marner is a top winger. Like, we know those things. They don't have to prove it anymore. There's no excitement in seeing them do it again. The excitement is seeing them win when it counts, and they can't do that to the playoffs, so now they got to go through 5 months of a grind, 6 months of a grind, just to maybe have the opportunity to turn that excitement and get some of those believers back.
Johnny, when you look at, you know, this group, and O talked about it, the, you know, the belief or the not belief, show me what you have in the playoffs, the changes, obviously have the core. You mentioned the core, with, and, you know, Tavares healthy and all of that too, but there's been some... we'll call it significant changes to not key spots, but pretty close to key spots. You know, Freddie Anderson's out, so you got a tandem that is unproven technically, even though both are good goaltenders. You've got, you know, Zach Hyman out, Nick Foligno, even though he wasn't, you know, much of a factor, but that left side has question marks. Does that cause you pause for concern as to what this group actually just looks like heading into the regular season?
I don't know if I'd be concerned. I mean, like, it's obviously a change. I think the goaltending is probably going to be close to a lateral move. Like, Mrazek, when he's healthy, can be really good. Yep. About the same as Freddie Anderson. Jack Campbell will probably be something like he was last year. The defense is the same, returning virtually the exact same guys. What will be fascinating to me is that the strength of Toronto the last few years, guys, has always been, well, they're forwards, they're high-end guys, but also their third line. They could just kind of, they could score a lot. And now, as it's been chipped away, as the core four forwards have been locked into these contracts, you know, you're looking at third lines of David Kampf and Mikheyev and Bunting, and, you know, are those guys players that will make a difference in games consistently? Like, will they intimidate the opposition, or is it just going to be like, as the top two lines go, so will go the Leafs, but other than that, they don't have much to threaten you with? I know Spezza had a great year last year, and maybe he'll do it again. Kasha, who knows if he's healthy. When he's healthy, he's good, but I think he's rarely healthy. There are a ton of question marks, to me, outside the four guys up, four, like up front. Like, that's the wild part. Like, I lock in Matthews and Marner, Tavares and Nylander, and I guess Alex Kerfoot's a good player, whether he plays wing or in the middle. And I'd say Spezza's a really good player at his spot. But I'm leaving out, like, six guys. Half their forwards are kind of unknown commodities, how they will perform and produce, and that feels different than years past. So, Noodles, yeah, like, I guess, I don't know if I'm concerned, because I think they're good enough to do well,
right,
even if not all those guys pan out, but there's a lot more question marks heading into the year than there has been in the last few.
Well, I think the door is wide open for someone to come in here with a personality, play with some personality, play with some bite, and get a fan base behind them. Like, it's wide open.
Is that Nick Ritchie for you?
It could be. You know, that might be the guy. He's from up the street. You know, this is a white-collar town, but a blue-collar hockey fan base, generally. Mm. You look at the way they've revered players that have played on the edge. We can list off a handful of them, 10, 15, 20 of them over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, it's not coming from the big four up front. It's not likely going to come from anyone on the back end. So I look at opportunities for players, and I don't know if they're here. You know, Wayne Simmonds has that type of possibility, but I don't know if he can do it anymore. He could do it 5 years ago. I don't, you know, he did it for 15 games last year. I don't know if he can do it anymore. And I know the nature of the sport is different than what it was back in the day.
Right.
But some guy that hits, gets in some fights, fans will be attracted to that. That's the way this market works. I don't know if they have that guy. I don't know if he's on this roster. And as for the big personality, I don't know if the team would allow for it either. You know, the way they try to sanitize everything, they try to be as safe as possible, safe zone, safe zone, safe zone. I don't know if they want a guy popping off. But I think that could potentially be a distraction that they may not be thinking would be a good thing, but it actually could be. Because right now all you want to hear from is Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and you want to hear them apologize for being awful in the playoffs. That's not going to help anything.
No, so, and how long do they have to do that for, Hayes?
How long do they need to apologize?
Like, Jeez. Uncle already. Like, I get it. They're disappointed. Oh, I thought you made a great point when they're trying to dissect every word Austin said. Like, they're just kind of using throwaway cliches at this point. Like, they can only beat themselves up publicly for so long. Like, you know, they got to live their life. They got to move on. Guys got engaged this summer. Things happen. Their life moves on, and fans don't want to hear that. But, like, it's the reality. I mean, they got to...
Yeah.
The guys, Austin Matthews wants to go to a UFC fight, hang out with Biebs, like, whatever. Like, let him do his thing. You can't sit in your dark basement for 4 months because you lost, even though fans might think that you should. So I think, you know, getting back, playing, getting over this and just asking questions and having them be worried about now as opposed to always apologizing for the disappointment of the spring will probably do everyone wonders, because I'm not, you know, just imagining what it would be like for them, how much they would be dreading media day at training camp or whatever, you know, like the first game for whatever, right, it might be, like, oh my God, like, let's just get old, like, get beyond this and get playing again, because you know, it was disappointing. Yeah, they get paid a lot of money and they didn't score in the late games and they didn't produce the way they wanted to. They know that, but there's nothing they can say about now that's going to make any difference to it. So they probably want to get that turned around big time, because it would be very tiring to try to deal with that every day.
Right. Yeah, no, and yet we know what is coming, the first official day.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. It was there already.
Yeah,
it was there on media day on Monday. You know, we were talking about, you know, Matthews bringing up Yzerman and Ovi and all that. Like, they're trying to just sugarcoat it every which way because they're, and you know it's coming again. You know, Mitch Marner's going to get asked, do you feel the vitriol, you know, online? And, you know, every time there's somebody signs a deal, all of a sudden it's tied to Mitch Marner's contract and all of, the, you know, all of this. Like, it they just got to get playing. And,
yeah.
And you know what? I think on a very, very, because Tampa is not Toronto. And Tampa has won, you know, that core has won some stuff before they won cups. They won rounds at least. But when they got rinsed in the first round, they won the President's Trophy and won, rinsed in the first round. Didn't John Cooper say on our show, he's like, yeah, I've been counting this for 400 and some days. Like, mm-hmm. they know. The Leafs are well aware. Those players are well aware of the attitude and the, you know, what people think of them right now, the team. There's disappointment. They're disappointed. But I think they just want to get playing and you know, move forward instead of looking back.
Mm-hmm. The worst part is, though, like, they can't shut anyone up until they what? Get to the conference final? I mean, like, Austin Matthews won the Rocket. And Mitch Marner was first team all league. Like, they're not going to do better than that this year. Not in the regular season.
Right.
And that would be kind of tiring mentally to know that, God, we got to deal with this all year long. And we don't even get to really enjoy the highs of our success during the regular season because not only will the fans be just looking forward to the playoffs, but so will we. Like, we know it's useless. We all got our money. We all have our accolades. All that we don't have, we can't do until April.
Right.
And that's still a long ways away, man. You got camp, you got 82 games.
Fans are going to get what they deserve, though, Johnny. If they're going to be idiots and be pissy about the pair of them, they'll just both say, okay, we'll go play somewhere else. And it's not... And if that happens, it's not like they're going to be, you know, Stanley Cups that are, like, they haven't won anything. But any normal athlete these days will be like, I'm not dealing with that. So I hope fans get their heads out of their rear ends.
Well, I mean, to think, you know, Mitch, who had just an, you can't say it enough, had an incredible year last year and a poor playoff round. And I know it's been a while since he scored the playoffs, whatever. But, like, he's gone from being the toast of the town. Like the hometown guy and the blocking shots at the end of one game in the playoffs and everyone loving everything about him. And now there's kind of this kind of dour cloud around him. And there shouldn't be. Oh, you're right. Like people should appreciate how great this guy is and the fact that he loves playing for Toronto. And it's kind of gotten away from him a little bit, but maybe that'll come back with some success. But I wonder, especially for those big guys, and this might be a bit of a silver lining in this season, if the prospect of playing in the Olympics fuels them a little bit. Not, they're always going to do their best, but just kind of as a distraction, as an intermediate goal to try to achieve, not for Austin, but maybe for Mitch, maybe for Jay, for Tavares, to try to get that in the middle of the year before you kind of turn and look to the playoffs. I wonder if that maybe helps, the fact that these guys might be shooting for that as a mid-season goal.
Yeah, it's the only tryout you're going to get at the National Hockey League level,
yeah,
for the most part, when you're talking about stars. And as you mentioned, Matthews is a lock. We know what role he's playing with the Americans. But Marner, Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Peter Mrazek, I think, as of today, would be the starter for the Czech Republic, if not a top two guy, I think.
Yeah, you know? I know. But there was some jackass this summer that was like, Jake Muzzin should be on the team. Like,
yeah,
I know, like,
Muzzin's not playing for Team Canada.
No, but I mean that. Like, I don't know if he was bored and just put that out there. But it was
I'll
like
only
a giant
say this, Noodles. If you look at, because is Morgan Rielly playing on the power play on Team Canada?
No, I can't imagine he would be.
So if it's 5-on-5 play, Jake Muzzin gets as many points as Morgan Rielly 5-on-5, and he's a better defensive player. So if Riley's in consideration, then Muzzin probably should be, because I don't think he will be, but I could see the point being made there that Muzzin's really, really good. And he played for the World Cup team.
He was on the World Cup team, yeah, he was.
Yeah, I know, but he kind of tailed off as that tournament went along, didn't he? Like, he was on there, then his role kind of diminished, and it seemed like, you know, maybe he wasn't quite comfortable playing with all those guys at that level. But Jake Muzzin is a really, really good player. Like, you could do worse.
That's why Bullmeister in there. That's
I know, but
Johnny.
I'm just saying that there's other players on other teams that are better players than him. That's my point. Like,
right,
they don't all have to come from the Leafs. That was the
I don't think anyone's suggesting this.
Jacob Chikrin is
have
a really good
defenseman. Have
you
been talking to Joe from the bridge like before or something?
Just was like, I was like, I read this article this summer. It's like the guy was making a compelling case that, you know, that Mullen should be, or Muzzin should be there. And I'm like, no, he shouldn't. Like, you know, I can't see him on that team ahead of either Chikrin, Nurse,
Pelech,
Theodore,
if he has a bigger,
Riley. Like, I don't know. I mean, that maybe that's
I don't have him on my team either. I don't see it happening, but it's not
doesn't
as if
mean
we're
he's
talking
not a great player.
Travis
I love
Dermott
him.
Making Team Canada. Right. I mean, Muzzin, it's doable, I suppose. But
is Travis Dermott making the Leafs? That's what we need to talk about.
Yeah, that's probably a more reasonable conversation. But, yeah, we're getting close. Camp's opening up next week. So
dude, I got a game in 12 days, Toronto-Montreal.
There you go.
Wow. Awesome, buddy.
Nice.
I love it. Yeah, it's go time, right? And we need an announcement on the fans and the stands. Like, nothing's coming from there.
I've heard Montreal's red-white game is 7,500, and I think that's what they're anticipating to start the year.
Okay.
But then I've read Ottawa is anticipating full boat. So hopefully Ottawa being in Ontario, that would be full go, everyone vaccinated, and come on in. That would be, I guess,
look. Yeah, you can't allow Ottawa 100%, and the Leafs only have 15%. I mean, I would think it would go across the board in terms
of a provincial mandate.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, well, there you go. That would be great. Exactly. We could be talking about that in less than a month. A couple of weeks away. Packed barn opening night.
Can't wait.
We'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Cheers.
As Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time through Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why. Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.